Hello, and welcome to Millennial 2017, number 8. And this is with Big Hair Media. This is a new YouTube channel by a guy from Scotland. So we're going to discuss his channel and his concerns and maybe Scotland as well. So, hello. Welcome to the channel.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah. So, first want to say that I have eaten a deep-fried Mars bar.
Have you?
Yeah.
What was it like?
And also a deep-fried battered pizza. So
oh,
wrap
my.
Your head around that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is... You're one of very few Scottish people who's actually appeared on my channel. I think you're the fourth. You're the fourth, but I think you're the first who's eaten a deep fried Mars bar. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm actually English. I'm in disguise. I'm a chameleon.
All right. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to people and how did you get into YouTube for a start?
Quite an interesting story.
Sorry, but before we get into that, tell us about who you are roughly and your background.
I live in the Scottish borders, and I have a small taxi company, and that's how I earn my money. I would suppose you could call me an internet addict for probably 15 years. So I got drawn into conspiracy theories and 9/11 truth and all that sort of stuff a long time ago. So I guess you could say I've been red-pilled for a long time.
Right, okay. And how did that begin? Was that was that the Alex Jones stuff and then Molyneux, that kind of thing?
I mean, it really started with what was the film on 9/11? The really famous one. I forget the name of it. And through that,
I'm waiting for people to channel. Ah, right, okay. I'm just waiting for people to suggest the name of that film because I can't remember it either.
Loose Change. Was it Loose Change?
Ah, yes, yeah.
So that was really what set me off, and then I went through this whole process of discovery about how we're just been lied to about everything that we were brought up to believe, and. So a year's on the internet, like just looking at that sort of stuff and, but still kind of trapped. Like I thought I was alone in the universe, that there was nobody about on the internet that really had any new idea. I decided I'm just going to start talking on YouTube and start a channel. And that was when I discovered this whole intellectual community online on YouTube, because I guess I was a victim of the Google self-closing censorship loop where you're just trapped in your recommendations indefinitely. And it wasn't until I actually started making videos that I discovered this whole skeptic community and the alt-right community and the SJW stuff as well. I didn't even know any of that existed.
Wow. Had you not heard of the alt-right?
I had heard of the alt-right, yeah. Like through the mainstream media. And on 4chan, of course, because I do browse 4chan as well.
Right. But you didn't know, did you know what an SJW was? Because a lot of people still don't.
Well, I kind of formed the idea of what an SJW was by myself, but I hadn't seen it defined, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, I did a video 2 years ago now called The Archetype of the SJW. I think it's funny because people, there was one comment under there, some guy saying that his daughter, I had perfectly described his daughter, and now he understood what she was, he understood her now.
Right.
I thought, wow, because people, like obviously parents will see their kid transforming in high school and especially university, but they won't understand what's going on because they don't understand the cultural environment that's shaping their kid.
And it's even worse than you think too, because it goes younger. I've got a son who's just about to start primary school next year. And so we got sent an information pack just this week. And the political language in it it's bizarre and worrying. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, I don't have kids, so I've not experienced this. Could you give some examples of that? I think it might be interesting.
Yeah. I don't have the booklet here, but it talks about the attainment gap. So they're obsessed with the attainment gap, and they have these goals like culturing a safe environment and being inclusive and respectful. You know, all this kind of SJW nonsense.
Yeah, that wasn't necessary before. I mean, that certainly wasn't part of my schooling, and I guess yours either. But when they say the attainment gap, when they say the attainment gap, do they mean between boys and girls?
No, they mean between the poor and the rich.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so they're obsessed with bringing the disadvantaged up to the higher standards. But what's really irritating about that is nowhere in the book would it say, for example, if you have a gifted child, how they're going to help a gifted child, because they don't really care about that, because that doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah, I mean, what they want is, I mean, obviously gifted children are more rare than less than average children. And this is the unfortunate thing, that a huge system like a state education system has to be geared basically for the average, and try the best that they can hope for is to bring everyone up to that average level. I mean, even that is impossible, but that's the sort of lofty goal that they set themselves.
The problem with it too is that their solution is always to just bring down the age for standardizing tests, which just of course exacerbates the problem. Because 3 and 4 year olds are not capable of sitting a standardized test. My 4 year old is not capable of sitting in one place for 15 minutes. So it's bizarre. Mm. It's absurd to put like 30 children in a room and test them at age 4 year old to try and predict what they're going to be as adults. But that's what the Scottish government plan is.
I think the Scottish government in particular is very keen on standardizing things. It's a bit scary actually.
But it's born out of socialism, of course, because that's what socialism is, equality of everything. And
it
drags down everyone else to the level of the lowest achiever.
Yeah,
equality. Also, right? Once everyone is as bad as the worst person, you've achieved equality.
Yeah, but there's also another aspect to it, which I think is specific to Scotland, which is a mistrust of people who are intelligent. You know, a mistrust of the outlier, which I think. That's something that I think, I mean, it obviously exists in England as well, but I think especially in Scotland, there's this sense that, well, don't think you're special.
Yes, and it comes from culture too. The culture that is forced on us. I mean, we have this celebration of stupidity everywhere, like with the reality TV shows. You know, my wife watches I'm a Celebrity, and there's endless reality TV shows. And this is part of the insanity that I was talking about, which led me to start a channel, because I just couldn't believe that this could be normal. Like, do you know what I mean? The Marxism and the degeneracy and the promotion of stupidity just everywhere you look. And I just wanted to inject some sanity into that. And I'm glad that there are other people doing it too.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. It's the fact that you're not alone. That's, I mean, obviously you still have to deal with it from day to day, but you can help, you can get to understand it, but moreover you enjoy the company of, you enjoy knowing that you're not the only one who thinks this. It can be tremendously comforting for people when they first discover this whole thing, not just the alt-right, but more broadly the culture on YouTube, the ecosystem on YouTube of people who are questioning, who are just interested in the world and the way things work, you know?
Yeah, and what you're finding as well is now these people are coalescing into groups. Like, you've got the alt-right and the skeptic community as well. And I think that I was listening to some of your earlier podcasts, and I think you're right in saying that this movement's going to move from the digital to the physical in the next year or two.
Because it's
too big to be ignored. I mean, the media wants to ignore it. They want to pretend like their reality is still reality, but it's not. And on my channel, I talk about a culture war. And it's interesting because I thought I'd come up with that term myself because I hadn't heard it anywhere. But obviously, other people have come up with that term too. So a war that's being waged by people like you and myself and other YouTubers and the traditional media.
Yeah, that's it. There are the SJW, there are the leftists, but basically, for the most part, they are simply a counterpart to the mainstream media. They basically agree on everything.
They're just like repeaters. David Icke calls them repeaters, right? They just sound off the narrative without thinking. And I think that the media still has that power, that mainstream media power, and especially when it comes to smearing people, like, that is what they do best, and that's how they keep everyone in line, because they, I guess, they've lost the argument, so that's what they resort to.
Yeah, I mean, the Scottish TV, STV, did a thing about, it wasn't really about me, it was about Scottish Dawn, that's another matter, but they mentioned me in it, and they called me an extremist. I think they said he airs his extremist white supremacist views. Now, that sounds like a cartoon character. It sounds ridiculous. And anyone who heard that would think, oh, God, I can't listen to that. I'm not going to look at his YouTube channel. That sounds monstrous. He'll be saying crazy stuff just with no nuance, when really it's the mainstream media that they're listening to that are saying crazy stuff without any nuance. I mean,
it's exactly that. It's everything they accuse people like you of is what they're doing. And that's across the board. And you can see that with the way they treat Trump in the US.
Oh, absolutely. That started, that was one of those big things that I realized, my God, the mainstream media are so prepared to lie. I mean, I always suspected and I always saw examples of it, but with the Trump thing, the Trump versus Hillary campaign, it was, the lying was just incredible. And with Brexit before that.
Really, like, I feel like they've kind of gone all in at this point. Like, they don't have anything else left. And they're losing. I mean, if you think that the media are winning against Trump, all you have to do is go to the Twitter analytics page. I use Trackalytics. And just look at how many people are following Donald Trump every day. It's over 60,000 people a day, and that's just on a normal day. When he does something outrageous, that jumps to nearly double. So if you calculate that over 4 years, compared to the media is already having problems and firing high profile people and retracting stories every week, the trajectory is that Trump's going to win this war on the media, in my opinion, of course.
I really hope so. I mean, today I saw a thing. It was that obviously the main story should be the pipe bomb in Manhattan. But I think it was CNN had their front page story was that Trump drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
Of course, because we can't talk about terrorism and we certainly can't mention the culprits of it.
No, he can't even identify them. I mean, and it's the same with the grooming gangs.
I dare not, because I live in the UK, which could land me in a cell.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So it's just an insane situation at this stage. I'm not surprised that the YouTube thing has sprung up. And again, it's not just the alt-right. It's much broader than that. But I'm not surprised. Thank God. I don't trust YouTube. I don't trust Google. But for now, at least, they are giving us relatively free speech. I mean, touch wood.
If you look at my channel, I just did a video today, and the YouTube put a video by the Polish government into limited state. So we've now got a situation where Google can censor a national government, an elected democratic government. I mean, that's madness, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's very strange, but this is part of the whole thing, that nowadays YouTube is so, and Twitter and Facebook are so powerful that they really should be brought, I mean, I think they should be regulated as public utilities, because they are public utilities in effect, even if they're those utilities are administered by a private corporation, it's still ultimately being used as a public utility. If you get banned from Twitter, Facebook and YouTube, a huge amount of your ability to get your ideas heard has been taken away from you. Anyone who still has those accounts has more freedom of speech than you have, in effect. So this is not something that I think should be left to corporations. I think that they should be brought under the control of the First Amendment in America. But of course, then you've got the issue that why don't we have the fucking First Amendment in Britain? It's ridiculous.
Well, exactly. And this is probably where we diverge in our ideologies, because, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's my understanding that your motivation is for a white ethnostate. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas I just don't see, like, say you achieve it, we still have Parliament in Westminster and all the corruption that goes with that. So,
oh, absolutely.
I don't see how that's going to be any better, in my opinion.
No, of course. I mean, I'm not saying that a white ethnostate would be a perfect place just because it's a white ethnostate, or that Britain, shorn of all its non-white populace, would be a perfect society. Of course it wouldn't be.
I'm not saying that either.
I just don't think that.
In my opinion, I don't think that pushing for what you're pushing for is the first thing we should be addressing. One of the big reasons I started as well doing YouTube was because the media was just censoring all the information about the paedophiles. And I really think that more people need to be talking about that, because these people coalesce in positions of power and there's nobody talking about it. And this is not just politics, but it's like the music industry, the movie industry, the sports industry, anywhere where there's lots of money and lots of power, you're finding these people. But there's no media presence, there's no investigation of it. So it's left to, I guess, the regular guy to talk about it.
Yeah. And again, this is why free speech is so important.
When we talk about the paedophiles, and people say it's a conspiracy theory, just to keep this one thing in mind is that Jimmy Savile was best friends with Prince Charles. And that's Prince Charles's words.
It's a very strange thing. I have no idea how deep that rabbit hole goes. It could be some kind of elite paedophile ring or some nexus of power that uses paedophilia as a way to keep control of people or as a way to buy and sell favours from people. God knows. Again, this is one of those things that it would be nice to sort out.
and this is one of the reasons, too, that they're so desperate to censor us on the internet, because they don't want this stuff to come out.
No, indeed. Well, in America, there was the Pizzagate thing, which, and again, that was sort of an adjunct to the Hillary Trump campaign thing.
That came out of WikiLeaks, right? That the Pizzagate stuff came out of WikiLeaks. And if you've not read the offending emails, you should just read them and see if you can make sense of them.
I've seen examples of them, and there's just no way it makes sense. It has to be something very weird indeed.
Some of the messages are covert, but there are some overt messages too. Like there's one where there's a holiday that they have a ranch, and they talk about inviting children to swim in the pool, ages 11, 9 and 7, for your entertainment. So that's just overt, and it's there. And John Podesta doesn't deny that those are his emails. Their strategy from the beginning has just been to shift the blame to Russia, because it's Russia's fault. But Russia didn't create the content of those emails. They just, even if it was Russia, which it wasn't, all that happened was that they were exposed.
Yeah. And again,
and these are the same people too that say to us, we have to spy on everything you do. If you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. It's the total hypocrisy of it.
Yeah. And again, the Russia thing is just ludicrous, because it's obviously just a way to shift attention away from them. And that has been blatantly obvious from the start.
It's what they accused Trump of. They're the ones that are guilty of it, which is now all coming out as well.
With Uranium One.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if Hillary Clinton had a sex tape, because they accused Trump of that too.
I'm not saying
that for certain, but it's a reasonable estimate given the track record of what they've accused him of so far.
Mm. You better hope that you don't disappear or have a mysteriously shoot yourself twice in the back of the head tomorrow or something like that. That was another thing. I mean, I don't want to get too much into this, but it was so strange that several people died in the run-up to Hillary's failed election. It's just like too many coincidences, and you think, eventually you have to think, she is unbelievably corrupt and unbelievably greedy and ruthless, or at least she's got handlers who are.
Part of that is the media too. The media protects them. The media protects these because they're gangs, really, and they push propaganda on us through entertainment to tell us who the bad guys are, while never discussing what's happening in politics. Or always, if there's a political show, up until probably House of Cards, which was really about the government corrupt mob, the political shows have all been like fluff pieces.
Yes, of course. I remember the House of Cards. I've seen the original, the British version. But I haven't seen the new one with Spacey. He is now, incidentally, he's been dropped from it. I mean, that's another thing altogether.
that's it's the same thing, isn't it?
It goes on and on.
Power thing, because it's not about sex. This whole pedophilia thing, it is about power.
I think that this is why I said earlier. I think it's almost a currency among certain elites that you buy and sell favors using. I mean, it's just incredible.
I don't know if you've heard of George Webb, but he's appeared on YouTube in the last year, and he's really been documenting all these, he calls them rat lines and brownstone operations, and these are operations where, like, you have a CIA agent that captures your target, whether it be a politician or a police officer, and basically entraps them in a paedophile scam to control them. And he says that he claims this on his channel, that with $30,000, a CIA agent can go into a country and essentially take it over for the purposes of the CIA, just using this kind of operation, starting with low-level people, getting them under your control. And this is all being exposed, and he actually has a court case in the Washington, D.C. So there are interesting developments going on with this stuff. It's all to do with Trump's pledge to drain the swamp as well, which is happening. If you look at the number of people in the U.S. that aren't running for re-election,
that's interesting.
See it's being drained.
Would you say that that promise... obviously it wasn't a specific promise. It was more a sort of figurative thing that he was going to get rid of the corruption. Do you think he's succeeding in doing that?
Absolutely. I think we've had already three senators resign just in the past couple of months. And there's over 50 politicians aren't running for re-election in the next election cycle. And you're seeing the heads of the media getting... They had that guy was suspended for 4 weeks. So, yeah. And the swamp as well is international. I mean, we could talk about the EU and the swamp that's there.
Oh,
which is
God.
Crazy. And then that brings you back to the SJWs, who are pro-EU, which I just can't, I can't wrap my head around their logic.
Well, the SJW, I mean, that is a... This is actually, this came up with the thing with Sargon yesterday, because he was advocating that we get SJWs to want nation states for, like, ethno states for black people and so on. And someone said in the comments under that 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 would never happen because SJWs are inherently globalist. They're inherently universalist. They don't
want global power. They're socialists for the most part. And socialism will never stop till it takes over everything. That's the socialist dream. And if you are a socialist, then you want to have an idea what it is like to be in a socialist country, then look at North Korea or Venezuela, because that's real socialism.
Well, it depends whether you distinguish between socialism and communism. Obviously, there are ways that a government, a state, can serve its citizens without... without that being necessarily the start of tyranny. But I think that the mindset of the SJW, since that's what we're talking about, is, I think it probably is totalitarian. I think that if they could get rid of the First Amendment in America, I'm absolutely certain that most of them would.
You see videos of it where they say, I don't care about the First Amendment, I'm having this protest anyway. And then I've seen other videos where the Antifa videos where they're stood there watching this march and one of them will scream, this is why we need power. You know, these people are crazy.
Yeah, they definitely seem to be, as you say, power mad, which, because I think they ultimately want a sort of equilibrium in daily life where there is nothing to worry about because there are no hierarchies, so there are no inequalities. Because a sort of stasis has been, universal stasis has been achieved. It's sort of like an end to all competition, all risk, all chance, all danger.
And all history as well, because they have to cleanse history, which is part of why YouTube is limiting certain videos about certain opinions, because reviewing history would allow you to come to a better standing of the present. And that's unacceptable in the SJW mindset.
Yeah, and SJWs do infest these corporations. There's no doubt about that. They seem to now be dominant.
And they really are like a cancer on everything too. Like, I follow a guy called Diversity in Comics. Have you heard of him?
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, and he's basically documenting the infiltration into Marvel Comics and other major comics and how it is just ruining all of the characters. I mean, they turned Captain America into a Nazi, for fuck's sake.
Was Captain America not the one that got changed into a black woman? One of them, there was something utterly ridiculous. Let's see if anyone in the chat can remember which one it was. Somebody got transformed from a white male into a black woman, I'm sure, unless I've dreamt this. No one's answering.
I'm sure it probably is true. I'm sure it probably is. But then now, like just this last week, we've got Magic the Gathering, the guy who was banned for life because of his posts on social media related to the game Magic the Gathering. And they just banned him for life and took hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise that he'd purchased from his online account. And they just shut him down because he has the wrong opinions and that can't be allowed.
I don't know what to say about that because it is scary. And I think, you know, honestly, I think that even big YouTubers like Molyneux and Sargon, I think they're very worried about this as well. Because, of course, they've built up huge... Especially Molyneux has built up a very sort of sturdy and robust system, a sort of mini empire in the form of his channel. I think he's got a good staff.
He has such it all extensive works very well. Library. Sorry, he has such an extensive library. So, what they did with PewDiePie, for example, they could do to Molyneux. They could search through thousands of hours of his material and cut like 4 minutes of it together to make him look really bad. And what could you do about that? There's nothing you can really do.
Of course, you just have to hope that your fans came through for you and, you know, launched a campaign. I'm pretty sure that Styx, Hex and Hammer's channel was taken down recently just for a few hours. And then there was a campaign on Twitter or something to get it back. But I don't quote me on that.
Yeah, that did happen, yeah.
Right. I don't know.
And also Donald Trump's account went down for 11 minutes as well on Twitter.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that I believe that was a German software engineer who was, I think he was Turkish. I'm not sure. Right. I can't recall it. Yeah,
I'm not going to draw any conclusions from that.
No. It's quite funny. I mean, sometimes it's just so obvious, you know, what's going on there. So to get back to the matter of, to get back to the matter of your channel, is this the kind of material that you do or are going to explore in the future?
Yeah, I started out because I was sick of the media, the mainstream media, the fake media. And then it's now kind of become mostly about Google and Twitter because they're the ones that really hold the power. The mainstream media are now just their minions because it's Google and Facebook and Twitter that's deciding by force what opinions are allowed. So what I would encourage everyone to do is to also start their own channels and to just tell Google directly that you will not accept this because they can't censor thousands and thousands and thousands of people at the same time.
Well,
but indeed, if it's just a few, then they can.
Yeah, yeah. They are actually, I saw an article the other day that they're actually employing 10,000 new people, new staff, to police YouTube, which goes to show that's an indication of the scale of YouTube. Yeah. Because obviously any one person only sees a tiny slice, tiny, tiny slice of YouTube and the daily activity on YouTube. I think the site must be absolutely massive at this stage.
Well, it's the number three site on the entire internet, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
So that gives you an example, an estimate of how big it is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though, they have all this time to censor and put limited state on videos like yours or Sargon's or whoever, but then they leave all of these videos with children dancing around, monetized, getting millions of views with disgusting comments in just left there. Even though people like, I reported these videos years ago because I use Google with my son. With YouTube with my son, and I reported one of these videos because I was sitting with my son watching it and it just came up with this frankly disgusting image of a girl dancing on a bed who was no more than 10 years old, and they haven't done anything until the media picked it up.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, that could be that I see. I don't know how many videos like that there are and how many are reported each day. But of course, it's ridiculous for them to let that stay up and then be, you know, putting, you know, American Renaissance videos into limited state. It's something ridiculous like that. Or Black Pigeon Speaks. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I went through on my channel just the other day, I went through the censored list. There's a website called censoredlist.com, which lists them all the limited state videos in order. And I found a music video for an American song called Dixie, which is a traditional American song and famously sang by Elvis Presley.
And right.
Google has censored that. You're not allowed to listen to that anymore because it has a Confederate message.
Wow. That is a thing. You know, after the Dylan Roof killing spree, I don't know if I remember when that was. I think it was 2015. Let me find out.
Yeah, I think
whenever it was, the demonization of the Confederate flag was just amazing, really. Yeah, it was. It was June 2015.
Yeah, and that's another example of how the media's main power is the ability to make something into the symbol of hatred or to smear something or a group, and that's what they do best. And they did it with the Confederate flag. very effectively. Amazon banned it.
Everyone banned it. I remember Apple, iTunes, and eBay, Amazon. There were loads of companies that just said, no, nothing that bears this. I think there was something to do with a video game as well. Even that got... either it had to be updated and they'd removed all Confederate flags, or some company stopped selling it. I can't recall now. But again, there you've got the sort of changing of rewriting of history. And it's possible. But
this double standard has existed for years too. But I remember back when PayPal and MasterCard and all these big banking companies, they blockaded WikiLeaks. Do you remember when that happened?
Sorry, yeah, I was muted there. Yes, I do remember that, but can you go into the details?
Well, so they didn't like what WikiLeaks was publishing because they were publishing documents that made the US government look bad. So they enacted this financial blockade where basically every method of payment through traditional means, through fiat currency means, was cut off from WikiLeaks. But at the same time, people were demonstrating that PayPal had no problem selling Nazi memorabilia, for example. They had no problem selling anything like that. And all these websites stayed up so that they had a double standards, and they've been in place for years. There's always a double standards because it's not about standards. It's ideologically driven by the globalists who are in control of this money and all these online payment systems. But it's really blown up in their face now because WikiLeaks was forced to move to Bitcoin exclusively. Bitcoin's gone from at that point being about $40 a Bitcoin to now being pushing $20,000 a Bitcoin. So that's really backfired in their face, and they've made WikiLeaks incredibly rich.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bitcoin, of course, has now become an incredibly useful currency. I mean, obviously people are saying that it's going to dip now, and I'm sure it will, but I think that this recent surge has established it as something that is in...
It's been saying it since $1,000, though.
But it's clearly going to be a big thing in the future, and I think that it has longevity. So it's very interesting. So that's... again, that's another aspect of this loss. See, that's the loss of control that's going on here. Just as YouTube represents Hollywood's loss of hegemony, I think Bitcoin represents the international banking elite's loss of hegemony, or it could do in the future if this continues.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a new generation of elites who've gotten rich off of Bitcoin. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Bitcoin billionaire by this point. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I would expect so. Anyway, I think we should wrap up because we've been going for nearly an hour at this stage, I think. So is there anything else you'd like to talk about, like, in terms of your channel and the future of it?
Well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I hopefully get better at doing what I'm doing. Mainly I'm analysing news articles and calling out the BS in them, just taking down the social justice logic. But I have some ideas that I'd like to explore, so I'll be doing some videos about those as well.
Right. Excellent. All right. Well, that sounds good. Okay. Well, this was Big Hair Media.
And thanks for having me.
It's been very interesting. We've rattled through a lot of different topics, and I hope that you do go into these on your channel. So
yeah,
okay. Excellent. Well, that's it for Millennial this tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow with, let me see, who is it tomorrow? Baked Alaska, Legio Christi, Lauren Rose, and No White Guilt. So that's it for tonight. Okay, thank you, Big Hair Media, and thank you to everyone for listening. See you later.
Thank you.